Thanks for joining us for a podcast from the Illinois Early Learning Project. Our project is part of the Department of Special Education at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and funded by the Illinois State Board of Education. On this podcast, we share information about how young children grow and learn, as well as strategies adults can use to help them thrive. My name is Natalie Danner. Welcome to the Illinois Early Learning Podcast. Today we are talking about food allergies and young children. We are joined by Dr. Ruchi Gupta and Sarah Valaika. Dr. Gupta is a professor of pediatrics and medicine at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, clinical attending at Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago, and the founding director of the Center for Food Allergy and Asthma Research, CFAR, at these institutions. Dr. Gupta is also a food allergy mom herself. Sarah Valaika currently serves as the program coordinator of early childhood food allergy initiatives at CFAR and has over 25 years of experience in early childhood education and is also a food allergy mom. So thank you so much to both of you for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Great. Well, today we're eager to hear from you both as experts in food allergy research and as food allergy parents, because our listeners want to learn ways to handle children's food allergies in early childhood classrooms. So let's get started with the basics. Dr. Gupta, how many young children in the United States have food allergies? And what are some of the most common foods associated with these food allergies?
Yes, so food allergies have been increasing over generations. And we all know this because, you know, we talk a lot about when we were young, we didn't see this as much. You know, everyone took peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school. But now what we know, the most recent numbers are about 8% of kids have food allergies. So about 1 in 13, about 2 in every classroom. So it is, you know, we've been calling it a food allergy epidemic. Because a lot has changed in just one generation. The top foods, you know, you can be allergic to any food, but we have a top 9, and those are the most common food allergens. So those include peanuts, tree nuts, milk, egg, shellfish, finfish, soy, wheat, and number 9, which is moving up fast, is sesame. You know, it's very, very important with these 9 food allergens that we help empower our kids to read food labels. Food labels can be very confusing, but as of this year, all 9 of those allergens must be clearly labeled by law on all packages. So they're either bolded in the ingredients or it says contains these foods. So make sure even sesame got passed this year. So now sesame needs to be labeled as well. Another really important thing is to help your kids and yourself like understand what cross-contact is and how to avoid cross-contact. All food allergies, of course, need to be taken seriously. And food allergies are different by age group. So in really young children, infants and kids under 5, you really see a lot of milk allergy. That is the top allergen by far, milk and egg. And then as kids get older and start trying new foods, you see those peanuts and tree nuts coming on, and then shellfish and finfish. Wheat and soy are also somewhat early allergens, and sesame, depending on when they try it. But very, very important for parents, for childcare providers, to really, really understand food allergies, because it is so common and really very difficult to avoid since food is a part of everything we do.
It's so true. Food is so much a part of the early childhood classroom when it comes to snacks and lunch and sometimes breakfasts too. At the Center for Food Allergy and Asthma Research, CFAR, there's even a fun song that you teach educators to sing with the children in the classroom to help them navigate food allergies too. Can you tell us about it, Sarah?
Sure. We do have a fun song. Something to remember about this age is that they can't read yet. So we want them to read labels. They're not ready for that. So what we heard from early childhood professionals and parents is that they wanted to know, how do you talk to infants, toddlers, and preschoolers? And so what we did is we used developmentally appropriate language, key concepts that are concrete words that are action-oriented. So stop, look, ask, go. And they might not grasp all four of those at the same time. However, they're learning those terms and those concepts throughout their day, everything that they're doing at this age. So we want children to stop before they eat, look at the food, ask an adult if it's okay, and go if the adult says it's okay. So what we did is to increase awareness of food allergy safety was to involve and to involve all of the children, because they all can benefit from this, these simple steps, is we put those terms and that message to the tune of Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes, which is a song sung in most, if not all, early childhood programs. It has hand gestures to go with it, and pre-verbal children can enjoy it. And I think staff can benefit from repeating the message themselves.
I think that's a really fun way of teaching some of these skills, really thinking about how to be careful and thoughtful about what to do before you really ingest something. So that's a really great way to think about how to make that snack and mealtime safer. So thanks for answering that, Sarah. Let's move on back to Dr. Gupta. What else can educators do to support children with food allergies? What are some strategies, especially for educators who might deal with multiple different allergies in one classroom? This is a question that we get from some of our educators out there who might be struggling with multiple children in their classroom with multiple allergies.
Yes, that's a great question. And first, I commend educators. They have a very, very busy, challenging job, and adding food allergies to that is complicated. And helping to keep these kids safe at such a young age where they can't always communicate with you. So some important things that we try to support is really understanding what are the signs and symptoms of a food allergic reaction. So this is really, really important because it's also very confusing because food allergies aren't as simple as asthma, right? It's not that you know it's going to be something with breathing. It's actually can impact any organ system, So knowing that if they see a young child feeling uncomfortable or restless, developing hives, vomiting, those are the most common ones, symptoms in young children. But it can also include trouble breathing or kind of a dizziness or fainting. So really understanding those signs and symptoms. And then making sure every child in their care has an emergency action plan. Now, what this does is it clearly states their allergens, what signs and symptoms to look out for, and what to do in case they accidentally ingest that food and have a reaction. And then, one of the things that they really need to practice, which we all do, even us as parents, and even though I do this every day, it's really important to keep training yourself on using epinephrine auto-injectors. They're all different, and so, these educators may have kids with different epinephrine auto-injectors, and then you use them all just slightly different. I mean, the common thing is there's a cap somewhere you pull off and you put it in the lateral thigh and hold it for somewhere between 2 to 4 seconds for most of them. So that's what's in common, but knowing which ones they have, because they're all slightly different. And in an emergency situation, it's kind of a panicky situation, and you want to make sure you're trained and you know what to do. But having those epinephrine auto-injectors ready, knowing how to use them, and don't be scared to use them. I think that's a big piece because sometimes we're waiting, is this really serious? But if you're in doubt at all, if that child is struggling, go ahead and use that epinephrine auto-injector. And then, similarly, have these drills, have, practice runs where you can be very confident that if it were to happen, that you're ready and prepared. prepared.
Wow, that sounds like some really good tips for teachers, especially the parts about formal communication from parents and really keeping up on that ongoing training for teachers. And Sarah, when it comes to communication, since we just talked about that with Dr. Gupta, what are some of those things that teachers can do to better communicate with parents of children with food allergies?
I think something that's really important for that teachers can do is to communicate with parents an openness to learn about food allergies. And in a moment of a food allergy reaction or something, a situation, to stay calm. And that's easier said than done. So I think practicing like mindfulness or breathing strategies is a good practice for any teacher, but it's important to stay calm for the teacher and for the child in that moment. But ultimately, just being a positive food allergy role model includes all those things. From that, I'd say that one really easy thing to do, because it's free and it's online now, is that we created a free online training. We created it with the National Food Allergy Research and Education Fair. We created this for early childhood professionals. And in the state of Illinois, it's aligned with Illinois Gateways, Illinois State Board of Ed, and early intervention training programs. So they can get professional development hours for taking the training. This training, it's called Stop, Look, Ask, Go, Food Allergy Education for Early Childhood Professionals. It just is a way to stay close to the content. You might not have a child with food allergies in your setting right now, but you might. So be ready. But in that training, we talk about the importance of talking to parents and using a checklist, and it's linked in that program. It's also on our websites as well. But we created a checklist for teachers in early childhood programs to guide the conversation, because it's important to ask parents questions to inform you and your work, but also it's important for parents to offer information too. It's a conversation. Early childhood, the heart of our early childhood is relationships. So that starts with in this moment, quite frankly. Also, Illinois Early Learning, shout out to you. We partnered with you to create and update one of your food allergy tip sheets. It's called Food Allergy Awareness. And I think that's something that's wonderful resource. It's translated into seven languages. And I know in many early childhood programs across the state, people pass out your tip sheets on multiple topics. So this is something teachers can do so easily, is just send it home periodically. And I'm sure you can provide more information on how they can access those tip sheets. Further in all of our resources and on the CFAR website. Also, it's part of the, you can access it through the training, which is good for parents too, I should add. One thing we learned is that parents of children without food allergies really want to help. And we were surprised by how high that number was. But they do. They don't know what they can do. And remember, your children, if you're a parent or teacher, your children, you want play dates. You know, NAICS calls for a caring community of learners. And if you want to create that, you want friendships to emerge and to come together. So we created a 2-minute parent-to-parent video that explains food allergies to a parent who does not have a child with food allergies. And that's a YouTube link. You can pull it from our website and share it in your e-newsletters, on your Facebook page, or however you communicate with families. It's also for families. If you're going to a birthday party or a play date, you can maybe just send the link over ahead of time so that you're not greeting, you know, at the door and trying to go through food allergies in that moment. So it's a good resource, and it's a free resource available to anyone.
Some great resources that you shared there. I really appreciate that, Sarah, especially thinking about how a teacher can really inform their mindset in being mindful and calm, even though there could be a stressful event happening in their own classroom with a child with a food allergy. We will definitely be linking that training that you talk about with a stop, look, ask, and go training, as well as the tip sheet. So thank you so much for having that shout out for the tip sheet that we developed together. So that one is called Food Allergy Awareness, and we will have that linked in the bottom of this website so that everyone can access that as well. For our final question here, Dr. Gupta, where can educators and parents go to find some more information on food allergies in early childhood classrooms?
Yes, and I appreciate us being able to pass out resources because I want all parents and educators to know they're not alone. And I feel like as parents, a lot of these parents are going to be new parents to food allergy. And as Sarah and I both know, it is really scary, And I'm telling you this as this is all I do all my life. I see patients with it, I do research on it, but it's still very scary. And if your child, you're always worried about your child. Because food is everywhere. And so just know, like, you're not alone. I think a couple things I'll tell you, but like, connect with other parents, and join support groups because I think that really helped me early on, especially when your child's so young, and know that you have support of other parents in your classroom and the educators. So, some places you can go, our website for sure. We are the Center for Food Allergy and Asthma Research, and this is one of our missions to help families feel safe and educated and empowered. So please come to our website. It's cfaar.northwestern.edu. We have all those amazing resources that Sarah helped develop for early child care centers and for parents. But there's other, large support groups out there, and some of them are FARE. Who we also mentioned, that's FARE, but there's others. There's FACT, FAACT, there is AFA, AAFA, and there's Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network, AAN. So we'll share all these resources, but there's a lot of organizations, they offer different things. So kind of looking around on their website and seeing what could be helpful, for you and your world. Is a great idea. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But we're always here. If anyone needs support, please, reach out to us at CIFAR and we'll try to get you whatever resources you.
Thank you so much. And I'll also mention some resources that Illinois Early Learning has as well, which we will link also on our website. Two of the great resources created in partnership with the Center for Food Allergy and Asthma Research. The first one is a blog called How the Game Red Light, Green Light Can Help Us Talk to Young Children About Food Allergies. And it's all about the song we mentioned earlier. There's even a video of the song being sung linked in the blog, so you can get that tune that Sarah was talking about. And the second is the one that we mentioned, which was the tip sheet called Food Allergy Awareness, which was what Sarah was talking about, which is perfect to share with parents, and it's available in 7 languages. So those resources, as well as the ones that Dr. Gupta and Sarah mentioned, will be linked on our website for you to find as well. So, Dr. Gupta and Sarah, I wanted to thank you for being our guests on the Illinois Early Learning Podcast. It's been a really informative episode, and I have learned absolutely so much about food allergies and young children. So, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Always here.
Thank you. And until next time, keep early learning at the forefront.
You have just heard a podcast by the Illinois Early Learning Project. For more information, please visit us at illinoisearlylearning.org, where you can find evidence-based, reliable information on early care and education for parents, caregivers, and teachers of young children. Thanks for listening and for helping the children in your home, classroom, and community have a strong start in their early learning.